Okay, if I asked you, right, Pesach tells the story of Yetziat Mitzrayim. Great. When does Yetziat Mitzrayim end? When does it end? Well, when it starts is also a good question. That might be the Machloket Rav and Shmuel, right? Where part of their question is how long, either do we frame this physically and talk about Avadim Hayinu and talk about physical slavery and physical freedom? Do we talk about us originally being idolaters and now coming before God? So maybe in that sense, you could argue that according to Rav, this mostly ends when you when they leave Egypt, maybe after Kriyat Yamsuf. According to Shmuel, maybe actually I flipped that. According to Rav, maybe it ends Matan Torah. According to Shmuel, maybe it ends, I don't know, Kriyat Yamsuf or something. Except there is a little problem with that, which we discover when you get to Hallel. So someone tell me, according to the second parak in Hallel, the second parak Tehillim that we read in Hallel, when does Yetziat Mitzrayim end? B'tzeit Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim Beit Yaakov me-am lo-eiz Hayta Yehuda le-katro Yisrael mam shelotav Hayam ra'av hayanos Hayardein, which means that according to Pshat in Tehillim, the Pshat, and this is something that Amos Chacham points out, Yetziat Mitzrayim at the very least doesn't end until they get to Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, the Yamsuf and the Yardein are both part of Betzeit Yisrael Mitzrayim. Now, obviously, the Midrashic read will push against this because the Midrashic read is that, if you remember from when you were a little kid, you probably heard this Midrash, that during Kriyat Yamsuf, all the water everywhere in the world split. And therefore, Midrashically, perhaps you could say that what it means that the Yarden flees is part of the miracle of Kriyat Yamsuf, but the simple pshat, which of course is complicated by Chazal's claim that this is written by Moshe, the simple pshat is that the Yetziat Mitzrayim actually ends at the very earliest when they get into Eretz Yisrael. And to be fair, leaving the authorship problem here aside. Right, because you could always just say Moshe said it in Nevuah or something. I don't know. Rachav says the same thing, right? That Rachav, when she's describing why the hearts of the people in Canaan melted, she says that it's because they remember Yamsuf, which means that in the mind of the people in Canaan, this is merely the culmination of that. And you know, you could even go as far as to argue that perhaps the purpose of Kriyat HaYarden, which is much less miraculous than Kriyat Yamsuf, considering the size of the Yarden, is more to remind people, because you know, it was 40 years later, what had happened and bring back the memories, because obviously, had the Jews not sinned, all the miracles of Mitzrayim should have been fresh in the minds of the Kenani. And as we read explicitly in Yaz Yashir, the point, or at least one of the results of the Makot in Mitzrayim, was to scare the people living in Eretz Canaan in order to prepare the groundwork for the eventual conquest. And I think that that's one of the things we need to think about a little bit at the Seder, is that, you know, that unspoken fifth lashon of Geula, so to speak, of Vahavienu, that God brought us to Eretz Yisrael. You have to remember that in Pshat, in Tanakh, that is merely the culmination of the Yetziat Mitzrayim process, which makes sense logically as well, because it's one thing to say that you're not slaves, but to really be free, you also have an have to have an independent identity, which comes in strong, you know, a strong part of that is being able to have a national homeland with a government and develop as a civilization and not just as a wandering nation. And even though we don't actually darshan that pasuk of the last pasuk in the parsha of Aram Yovid Avi, the Tashbeit in his parish on the Haggadah notes that it could be that Dayenu is really an extended drasha on that pasuk of, right, the last pasuk in Mikra Bikurim is, and you brought us to Eretz Yisrael. And if you think about Dayenu, Dayenu is essentially just an extended list of how you go from Yitziat Mitzrayim through Matan Torah and the Midbar and Man and da 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 until Eretz Yisrael and the Beit HaMikdash. So there is a hint to the fact that that last pasuk, the culmination of the process of Yitziat Mitzrayim, not just being free, but actually being able to become an independent nation, that that is in fact also part of the process and maybe even the culmination of the process, which again doesn't end until you get to that point. So that's something just to sort of keep in the back of your mind when you're thinking about what exactly does it mean that we have Yitziat Mitzrayim. When does that start? When does that end? And how much of that is spoken? How much of that is unspoken in the Haggadah? Okay, we'll do. I'm gonna